ಸ್ಯಾದೌ ಕುರುವನ್ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ದದೌ ಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಉಪಕಾರಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಅವರ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಭಕ್ತಿಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಿ ಕೋರ್ಸ್. ಇನ್ 9th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ, ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಕಾನ್ಫಿಡೆನ್ಷಿಯಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್, ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ 9.1 ಅಂಡ್ 2, ದ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್. ದಿಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಒನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ನೋಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್. And this will burn away all sinful reactions like that. Now let's, Krishna will glorify this knowledge by talking about its converse. That if one does not have faith in this knowledge, doesn't imbibe this knowledge, then what will happen? That he will describe in the next verse, 9.3. Let's start with it. Ashraddhana purusha dharmasya siparantapa aprapimam nivartante mrityu samsara vartamani. So, ashraddhana purushaha. So, though that person who is not having faith, ashraddhana, dharmasyasya parantapa, that in the dharma the person doesn't have faith, aprapyamam nivartante, the person will not attain me, but will instead what happen? In mrityu samsara vartamani, will continue on in the cycle of birth and death. So, here, Krishna describes the consequence of faithlessness as the continuation in the cycle of birth and death. So, normally, if we don't put faith in the medicine, then we can't be cured and our disease continues. Same way Krishna is telling, this medicine can cure you, but if you don't take the medicine, if you don't have faith in the medicine, you will not take the medicine. And if you don't take the medicine, then you will have to continue on. Two things will happen. Aprapyamam will not attain me. Only when we attain Krishna, we go out of the cycle of birth and death. If we don't attain Krishna, nivartante, will return back where? Mrityu samsara vartamani, the path of birth and death. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport elaborately talks about faith, and he talks about faith in terms of the three adhikaris, Kanishtha, Madhyama, Uttama. We have already discussed this in Nectar of Instruction, so we will not go into the discussion of those stages here, but Prabhupada emphasizes an interesting point. He says, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. That means what? What is the process of Krishna consciousness supposed to do? It is meant to develop that faith. And if we are developing faith, then we are actually doing Krishna conscious activity. So naturally, if you are practicing Krishna conscious sincerely, then we will be experiencing purification, we will be experiencing pacification, we will be experiencing satisfaction, and that will keep increasing our faith, just as a patient who is cured of a disease keeps experiencing and relishing the cure. So then Prabhupada writes, what is the faith that is being talked about over here? We discussed earlier about how faith being at multiple levels. You can say faith that God exists, faith that God is a person. There can be different levels of faith. Here the faith which is talked about is faith in Bhakti Yoga. So faith, Prabhupada correlates with the Bhagavatam verse, Yathataro Ramula Nishechanena Rupyanti Tatskanda Bhujo Pushakaha Prano Pahara Chithem Vyanam Thaiva Sarvarhanam Chitheju. This is 4.31.14 in the Bhagavatam. Yathataro, Tarora is a tree. Just as when we take a tree and moola nishechanena, we root, water the root of the tree. Nishechanena is watering the root. Then trupyanti, satisfied. Tatskanda bhujopashakaha. Then the remaining parts of the tree, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, all of these become satisfied by the practice of watering the root of the tree. Similarly, pranopahara chethendriyanam. So, pranopaharaj. That means when we satisfy the stomach, then indriyanam, all the senses of the body become satisfied. Tathaiva sarvaranamachyutejya. Similarly, everybody is worshipped and satisfied by satisfying Lord Achyuta. So this verse is talking about a principle of spiritual mysticism. What is spiritual mysticism? We may wonder, how is it possible that by satisfying Krishna, everyone will be satisfied? That is actually mystical. But it's mystical not in the sense that it's misty, it's unclear, but it's that it has to be experienced. It is devotional mysticism. devotional mysticism is not just that somebody can, you know, float in the sky suddenly. The person is sitting and the person levitates. That will be one level of mysticism, but how much satisfaction is that going to give anyone? It's a little bit attention from, oh, this, you can levitate, just an accomplished yogi. Somebody can have some prapti siddhi or something like that. All that cannot give lasting satisfaction. But when we understand and internalize and realize this principle that by satisfying Krishna, I will become satisfied, then we gain lasting happiness. And faith in that principle is, Prabhupada says, the faith that is being talked about. So faith that by glorifying Krishna, by serving Krishna, by loving Krishna, we will gain the highest happiness. And this faith progressively increases from the Kanishtha to the Madhyama to the Uttamadhikari. And Prabhupada talks about the third Kanishtha Adhikari, that those who have no faith, even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simple eulogy. So here the word eulogy is used in the sense of empty praise, exaggeration. Find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. So what is Prabhupada talking about over here? It may seem a little scary statement that there is very little hope for gaining perfection. The point is that actually, devotional service is not just a matter of external engagement. It is also a matter of inner involvement. I may chant Hare Krishna, I may go to a temple, I may dance in Kirtan, all this is good. All this is essential also. But through all this, ultimately my heart has to be involved. And if I'm just going through the motions of doing these things, and internally I'm being eaten away by doubts, then eventually those doubts will manifest externally and will give up those activities. So, that's why if somebody is not working on resolving the doubts, working on developing faith, then if the person supposedly engaged in devotional service for some other motive apart from purification and elevation, then one will not be able to continue for very long. So how do we work on our faith? We have to find out what are the things that increase our faith and do those activities. It's like muscles, we discussed earlier. By exercising, the muscles grow. Similarly, we find out what is it that increases our faith. It will be studying the philosophy more. It will be associating with particular devotees. Doing certain activities that actually help us feel the purification, the satisfaction in the heart. And by that we increase our faith. And there are certain issues which we can put in a state of suspended judgment if they trouble us too much. And keep moving forward and doing those things which help us develop our faith. So let's look at the section overview of the 9th chapter. So that we'll understand what is happening. We discussed the first section now. Developing Kevala Bhakti by knowledge about Krishna. The section was the glory, knowledge about Krishna, what will it lead to? It will lead to pure devotional service. And that is what this is going to talk about. Now the second section will talk about Krishna's inconceivable relationship with the material world. Let's look at this now. So maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani vajaham teshvavasthitaha. So here Krishna is telling, maya tatam idam sarvam. This sarvam, this whole sarvam jagat is pervaded by me, avyakta murtina, in my unmanifested form. Matsthani sarva bhutani. That the whole world is situated in me. Matsthani sarva bhutani. Vichaham teshva avasthitaha. But I am not situated in this world. Now what is this referring to? Krishna is starting the description of his relationship with the material world by explaining that mayatatamidam sarvam, he pervades all of existence. Now how does Krishna pervade? There are various levels. Now one is, actually whatever exists is his energy only, material and spiritual. That he has talked about in the 7th chapter already. And there also he says, sutre mani ganaiva, that he is pervading everything, is immanence we talked about. How he is, so Sukamte, and those series of verses from 7.8 to 11. He is like the thread in a necklace. So similarly, he is the underlying unifying aspect of all of creation. So that is there. Here, Maya Tamidam Sarvam Jagad Avyakta Murtina. So Avyakta Murtina means unmanifested form. So that is referring to, generally speaking, this is referring to the Brahma Jyoti. This can also be refused to refer to the energies of the Lord. Prabhupada, in different contexts, see this. Actually, Krishna, everything that exists is Krishna's energy. And that's why everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service. So Jagat Avyakta Murtina. In general, this can be used to refer to the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna is pervading all of existence through Brahma Jyoti. Then Matsthani Sarva Bhutani. Matsthani, that sarvabhutani, that actually all living beings are situated in me. How are they all situated in me? They are situated in me. This can be said to refer to the super soul aspect. The super soul is the rest of all living beings. It sustains everything. Matsthani sarvabhutani. Nachaham teshva vastitha, but I am not situated in them. I am not situated in them means what? This refers to Krishna's transcendence. Krishna exists beyond the material world. He exists in the spiritual world. So I am not situated in these things. Nachaham teshu avastita. I am not situated. Krishna has talked about this time point in the 7th chapter also. When he talked about his relationship with the moods in 7.12 and 13. 12 he said, yechaiva sattvika bhava. Rajasastamasaschaye mattaye veditan vidhi natvaham teshu te mai natvaham teshu. I am not situated in them, they are situated in me. So he is saying, first of all, that he is not exhausted by pervading in material existence. The next verse he says, tribhir gunamaya irbhavairebhi sarvamidam jagat mohitam na bijanati mamebhya paramavayam. I am beyond all this. I am transcendental to the three modes. All living beings are bewildered by three modes, but I transcend the three modes. And here he is saying, Nachaham teshu avasthitaha, Nachaham, that I am not situated in this. Now, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the point that actually Krishna cannot be understood by material sense perception. It is he is understood by spiritual revelation. So, Swayameva Spuratyadha is quoted several times. He quotes once again over here in this purport. And then Prabhupada would often give example of the pervasiveness through influence, through power. So king pervades the establishment of the king kingdom, or owner pervades establishment that he owns through the influence that is there. So that is one way in which Krishna pervades, through his energies. Whatever is happening, it is the interaction of his energies, and that's how he controls. Now, the next verse reveals the inconceivability of this point further. Nachamatsthani bhutani pashyame yoga vaishwaram bhuta brinna cha bhutastho amatma bhuta bhavana. So, nachamatsthani bhutani, not situated in me. Nachamatsthani bhutani, they are not situated in me. Pashyame yoga vaishwaram, that just see my yoga aishwarya. The inconceivability of my power, yoga maishwari. And what is that he, what is further his reality? Bhutabhrin, nacha bhutastho. Bhutabhrin, I am the maintainer of all living beings, but nacha bhutastho, I am not situated in the cosmic manifestation. Mamatma bhutabhavana, actually, I am the source of all manifestations. There's a lot of conceptual, concentrated insight in this verse. Let us look at it one by one. First line is Nachamatsthani Bhutani. Now, there cannot be a more direct contradiction of a previous statement as it is here. Krishna has said in 9.4, this is the previous one, 9.4c. See, Nachamatsthani Sarva Bhutani. Nachaham teshu avastita. So 9.4c was Matsthani sarvabhutani. All living beings are situated in me. But here in 9.5a, what is it saying? Nacha matsthani bhutani. So it's a direct contradiction. Now, how can Krishna contradict? Is it that sometimes when we are giving classes, we make some mistake and say, actually, I didn't mean that. I mean this. Is Krishna making a mistake over here? No, Krishna doesn't make any mistakes. He is God. He is omniscient. He is actually, through contradictions, helping us to rise to to a higher level of understanding. A higher level of understanding. We discussed about arthapatti. Now, arthapatti is that when two contradictory statements are made so as to forcefully point one's attention, draw one's attention to a deeper unifying truth, a deeper truth that reconciles both the statements. So, suppose we have a statement. Devadatta does not eat food throughout the day. That's statement A. Statement B is Devadatta's weight is increasing. Now, how can these two statements be true? The person is not eating food, the weight cannot increase. So, either the first statement is not true or second statement is not true. But if you are told both statements are true, then how do we understand it? How do we understand it? Then we have to propose a third statement which reconciles it. So, what is the third statement? Devadatta eats secretly at night. So, he eats secretly at night. That is, throughout the day he doesn't eat, but his weight is increasing. So, now the third statement is not directly stated in either of these two statements, but it is implied. And if both are true, then this has to be true so that both of them can be reconciled. So, arthapatti is called as postulation. And postulation is a form of law, one of the sub-pramanas, one of the ways of acquiring knowledge. So, arthapatti is often used in scripture to reveal the harmony in apparently contradictory statements. How is that done? By the postulation of a third statement. For example, scriptures say that God does not have a form. It's a rupa. And then the scriptures also say uru rupa. Gajendrayana's prayer says arupaya uru rupaya nama ascharya karmane. Arupa is no form and he has many forms. So how are these two statements to be reconciled? The reconciliation is by the point that actually both of them are pointing to certain aspects. So it doesn't have a material form but has many spiritual forms. So arupaya is so the Lord has a form that is not material but spiritual. That's how these two can be reconciled. So similarly, we can reconcile different statements when they seem to be superficially contradictory. So, you know, there are these statements. If we just try to understand them at the literal level, literal means not that we have to go to them metaphorical or figurative, but if we just try to, if we get hung up with them, you know, this must be wrong. This is right. Motha said, this cannot make sense. If then these are like banana peels. You know, when you walk on a banana peel, you slip and fall. So like that, if we are not guided by Guru Sadha Shastra and we try to study scripture, then in scriptures often we will find many philosophical banana peels. What do you mean by philosophical banana peels? That means these are concepts, when we try to walk on them conceptually, intellectually, then tuck, our intellect slips and it falls. So if you don't want that to happen, then we have to be careful. What we have to do is we have to understand that this has to be understood through Guru Sadhu Shastra. So, arthapatti may be required. So, the philosophical banana peel, rather than seeing them as a sign that, oh, scriptures are contradictory, they don't make any sense, we should say that actually, you know, where there's a banana peel, there must be a banana somewhere. So, what that means is, there is a deeper insight to be had over here. Let me be patient. Let me be submissive. Let me be inquisitive. Let me find out what is the real, deeper understanding. So, that way, we'll be able to understand how we can move forward. So here, Prabhupada gives us the reconciliation. He says, what does it mean? Nachamatthani bhutani. He explains that burdens do not burden the Lord. See, matsthani sarva bhutani. All living beings are situated in me. So this might convey the idea to some people that if all living beings are situated in him, then will the Lord get burdened? So Prabhupada talks about the Greco-Roman conception of Atlas, where Atlas is supposed to be carrying the globe. And actually, when the whole map of the earth, one of the names for it is Atlas. And that name comes from that Greco-Roman conception of Atlas as one of the gods. So Atlas is carrying the globe on his shoulder. And Atlas is burdened by carrying it for a long time. So that conception should not be entertained about Krishna. Because Krishna is not burdened. Nichmatsthani bhutani. These are actually transcendental, and by his energies everything happens. Swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. Swabhaviki. Naturally it happens. Krishna doesn't have to endeavor. Krishna doesn't have to strive and struggle and strain and sweat to get things done. No. Satya sankalpa. His desires. Icha nirupam apayishtate. What happens is described. Durga Devi, Ramasamita describes that. Ichhanurupam yasya cheshtate sa. And according to his ichha, cheshtate sa. Material energy does all the endeavors and things are done. So, Nichamatsthani Bhutani refers to how Krishna is not burdened by the burden of maintaining material existence. It happens by his energies. And then, Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram. Krishna, rather than sometimes when we make a mistake, we tend to be apologetic. I said that, oh, it doesn't make sense, let me correct myself. But Krishna, far from being apologetic, what is Krishna doing over here? Krishna is saying, he is celebrating this contradiction. Krishna is not minimizing or hushing or covering up the contradiction. Sometimes when we make a mistake, then we say, oh, actually you didn't hear me properly. You know, I didn't say that, I meant this. But Krishna doesn't hush up. Krishna doesn't cover it up. Krishna celebrates the contradiction by saying, Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. Just see my opulence. What is this? Yogamaishwaram. Now normally, we talk about yoga in terms of connection and the process that we follow by which we connect with the Lord. So with this Bhakti Yoga, there is Jnana Yoga, this Karma Yoga. So these are all the activities that we do centered on bhakti, karma, gyan, by which we are able to do yoga, by which we are able to connect with the Lord. But here Krishna is talking about yoga from his side. So what is this referring to? Pashyame yoga maishwaram. So actually Krishna also reveals himself so that we can become connected with him. So that will be called as his yoga aishwarya. So, how does Krishna help that yoga to happen? Yoga means connection. So, for the connection between the Lord and the soul to happen, the soul has to endeavor. And the sadhana that the soul does through various paths, the paths get the name accordingly. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, whatever. Bhakti yoga. So now, but the Lord also reveals himself so that we can know him. So that revelation from the Lord, that can also be called as yoga, because that is also helping us to connect. So Krishna is saying, this is my mystic opulence. So Prabhupada translates the word yoga here as mystic. So now mystic is not in terms of an unclear, it's mysterious, it's astonishing, it's achintya, it's wonderful. And this sort of understanding increases the devotee's appreciation for the Lord. That how wonderful the Lord is. We see the simple faithful appreciation in the story of Narad Muni and the cobbler. The cobbler, when he was told that what was Lord Narayan doing, Narad Muni told him, I will not repeat the whole story, but he said that actually he was threading an elephant to the hole of a needle. Yes, how is, he did not ask how is that possible. He said, yes, how wonderful my Lord is. And how is it possible? He said, you know, this is used banyan tree is there. It just comes from tiny acorn seeds. So, if the Lord can put such a big tree, such a tiny seed, then why can't he do that also? He can do that. So in this way, it's explained. The Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. So when we see Krishna's capacity to do extraordinary things, that increases our appreciation. You know, sometimes when people hear the pastimes of Krishna, especially the miraculous pastimes, for example, the pastime like lifting Govardhan or doing other such activities which contradict the laws of nature. So there is a class of thinkers who say, yes, Krishna existed and Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, he's a very wise person, but all these pastimes where Krishna perform miracles, they are exaggerations which have been added later. So they say the original Krishna was a very wise person, very intelligent person, very great diplomat. But he was over-glorified and afterward all these supernatural ideas were added there. So they want to remove the supernatural aspect from Krishna. And they just want to make him another human being. So why do they want to do that? Because they don't understand Krishna's divinity. So these people want to approach Krishna the utilitarian way, and they may have nationalistic purpose, political purpose, human, social purpose, whatever. And for that purpose, they want to use Krishna as a model. Krishna, we can learn about, from Krishna about these things also. But we don't have to reduce Krishna to these roles alone. Krishna is transcendental. When people reduce Krishna to this role, then they try to divorce his supernatural activities from his personality. And that is because they don't understand that God means God can do anything. So rather than feeling apprehensive or apologetic, you know, actually, yeah, our scriptures have some stories which were probably not true, they're mythological or whatever. So being apologetic or apprehensive, you know, we can be assertive. Why assertive? Because if he's God, he can do anything. And the more amazing the things that he is reported to have done, the more it is evidence that he is God. You know, the more it is evident that he is God, yes, that's what. If he is God, if he is omnipotent, then shouldn't he be able to do extraordinary things? And the very fact that he's been able to do extraordinary things, that increases our appreciation, increases our devotion, increases our faith. So we don't have to be apologetic or like that apprehensive. We can be assertive. Yes, this is proof of Krishna's divinity, that Krishna has done all these activities. As Krishna says, Yoga Maishwaram. This is Krishna's mystical potency, that he is celebrating the contradiction. And then the next line describes Bhuta Bhrinna Cha Bhuta Stho. Bhuta Bhrinna. Bhuta Bhrinna is Krishna saying, I am the maintainer of all living beings, such a Bhuta Stho. But I am not situated in them. So, what is the contradiction over here? Actually, normally, if somebody is a maintainer of something, then that person is caught up in that thing. When a person, the head of a family maintains the family, at that time, naturally there's attachment. And the consciousness is right in the family. So he's saying, no, I'm not like that. Bhuta Bhrin, Nacha Bhuta Stho. I'm not attached, I'm not entangled. Mamatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. And he says, actually, I am the source of all living beings. I am the source of all of existence, but I am transcendental. So Krishna doesn't get attached, although he is maintaining all living beings. Krishna has made this beautiful creation, but he's entrusted it to us. And if we want to mess up with it, Krishna allows us to do that. Of course, when we mess up with it, we are doing bad karma, we'll get reactions. But Krishna allows us to do bad karma. If an artist has made a beautiful painting, the artist won't want others to come and mess up with it. But Krishna is not attached. Krishna creates arrangements, but for the living entities to be maintained in the best possible way within material existence. But if the living entities mess up things, then he allows them to do that because he's given them free will. So he's not attached. Bhuta Bhrinna Cha Bhuta Stho. Now, the last line has an interesting usage. Mam Atma Bhuta Bhavanaha. Mama Atma, Krishna is saying. Mama Atma is my soul. So now, why is Krishna using such a word, Mama Atma, my soul? Does this give credence to the notion that some Mayavadis have, that actually, you know, we don't have to surrender to Krishna, we have to surrender to the unborn within Krishna? So is Krishna referred to something like that? He has an Atma and that is the source of everything and he is different from the Atma. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti explains in his commentary that here, just like sometimes in scriptures, the word is used, Rahu's head. You know, Rahu's head appeared over there. Now, actually, we may use the word Rahu's head, but Rahu is nothing but the head. Yeah, you know the story in the Amrut Manthan Leela, that when the demigods and demons were both being quarreling for nectar, so Mohini, the Lord came as Mohini Murthy and he told them, you both sit in the queue and I will serve both of you. And the Mohini Murthy started serving the nectar fully to the demigods themselves. So Rahu understood at that time, oh, what is happening? And then Rahu came along to that side and started dressed like a demigod and started asking for the nectar, sitting in the queue. So So Surya saw it, and the Surya pointed it out, and when Mohini Murti saw it, immediately chakra appeared and cut off the head. But what had happened was the nectar had gone till the nectar, Rahu had already taken the nectar had gone till the head. That's why Rahu did not die. So the head was there. Now we may use the word Rahu's head because normally a person with a head has a body. But in the case of Rahu, the head is non-different from Rahu because Rahu is nothing but the head. Similarly, Mama Atma is used in that sense that actually Krishna is the Atma. Krishna, when you see, we use the word Atma sometimes in literal sense and sometimes also in a figurative sense, non-literal sense, you know. Put your heart and soul in doing service, when we say. It's not that you have to take the soul out of the body and put it in the service. You can't take it literally over there. What it means, put your spirit, put your essence. So Krishna is telling, Mama Atma Bhuta Bhavana. So he's telling over here that actually, I am the my essential being, which is me, nothing different from me. Krishna has, if there was some Atma which were higher than Krishna, Krishna should have stated by now, and Krishna has stated the opposite repeatedly. Krishna has said that, in 7.7, Mattaha parataram nanyad kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is no truth higher than me. Mattaha parataram nanyad. Similarly, in 10.8, he will say later on, Aham sarvasya prabhu. Everything comes from me. It's not that I come from something. Everything comes from me. And 15.19 also, he will say again later that, Yo mameva sammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam. Sarva Bhavena Bharata. One who understands me as the Purushottama. Sa Sarva Ved. One who understands me as Purushottama, he is Sarva Ved. That person knows everything. Bhajati Mam. And worships me. Sarva Bhavena Bharata. With all the emotions of the heart, wholeheartedly. So the important point is Sa Sarva Ved. That person knows everything. It is not that somebody who thinks that there is something higher than the Purushottama, that is Sarvavit. No, one who knows the Purushottama is Sarvavit. So if we look at the overall flow of the Gita, then we understand. Otherwise, if we just take one verse out of context, then that might lead to confusion. So Mama Atma refers to Krishna himself. Krishna is saying, actually, I myself and nothing apart from me is the source of everything. Bhuta Bhavana. Now, after describing this, Krishna will now talk about an example which will illustrate this point of how he is, how his Yogamaishwarya is. So let's look at that example. Yatha akash sthito nityam vayu sarvatra ko mahan tatha sarvani bhutani matsthani tyopadharaya. Yatha akash sthito nityam. Just as is situated in the sky, akashasthita. What is situated in the sky? Vayu sarvatra go mahan. The vayu, the wind. Sarvatra go, the wind flows everywhere. Mahan, it is great, it is powerful. But the wind can go in all directions and still the wind remains situated in the sky. Similarly, tatha sarvani bhutani. Similarly, all living beings. Matsthani tityupadharaya. They are situated in me. Matsthani tityupadharaya. So what does this refer to? This refers to a restriction not on movement but on the perimeter of movement. What does it mean? Perimeter means the overall area. See, when we talk about the word sky, what is it referring to over here? Sometimes the word akash, come, which are translated differently. Now from the modern scientific perspective, actually there is no such thing as a sky. What we see in the sky is an illusion because it's just an extending space forever and ever. So Sanskrit terms, they are not always very easily translatable into English. We discussed earlier about how the word avatar, it cannot be accurately translated as incarnation because it's not in the flesh. But Srila Prabhupada would use familiar handles for familiar concepts so as to not complicate things. You know, we discussed earlier that terms are verbal and concepts are mental. So terms are handles for concepts. If I have to carry something, if there's a handle, I can carry it easily. So similarly, terms help us to communicate concepts. Terms are handles for concepts. So generally, if a concept is new and the term is also new, then it will become a little more difficult for people to appreciate it. So what Srila Prabhupada will do is, when foreign concepts have to be conveyed to people, that means the concepts are in the Vedic thought and they are in Sanskrit terminology. And while conveying it, Prabhupada would use familiar handles, familiar terms. Even if those terms were not entirely accurate, because those terms have different meanings in English than what was conveyed by the Sanskrit meaning. So Prabhupada would use that. Why? So to make sure that people would understand the point easily. At least get a start on understanding the point. So Prabhupada would prefer familiar handles to unfamiliar concepts, so that the understanding would move forward, at least from the basic point of view. Now, the point which is being made over here is that Akasha, when we talk about sky, from the scientific point of view, from the technical point of view, there's no such thing as a sky. But from the general, normal, conversational point of view, yes, we say the sky is what exists. We look up and we see the sky. Now, the air moves around in the sky. So if we have a bowl, and a large bowl, and then we put it upside down, so it becomes something like a dome which covers things, then the air inside the bowl, the air is able to move around. It can move up, it can move down, it can move right, it can move left, but its area of movement, its perimeter of movement is limited. So like that, the souls in this world, matsthani. So Krishna has used the word matsthani 3 times now, in 4th, 5th and 6th verses. 4th was in 4c, matsthani sarva bhutani. And then 5a was nacha matsthani bhutani. And now in here in 6d, matsthani tyupadharaya. It's actually situated in me. So Krishna is using it 3 times here. And what is he conveying by this? See, the apparent contradiction in 4D and 4C and 5A, Krishna is showing us how a higher understanding reconciles it. So Krishna says that all living beings are situated in me. What does it mean? Krishna says that I give them freedom within limitation. So there is, for the living entities, unlimited freedom within a limited framework. What does it mean, unlimited freedom within a limited framework? If a horse is tied to a pole, horse is here, it's tied to a pole with a rope. Now, within the radius of the rope, the horse has freedom. The horse can move right, you can move left, you can move towards the pole, away from the pole. So, the horse has, for all practical purposes, unlimited freedom, but within a limited framework. As soon as the radius of the rope is reached, beyond that, the horse cannot go. So like that, the living entity has unlimited freedom within a limited framework. It says the air can move in all directions, but air is still contained within the sky overall. So the word Akash, technically speaking, would refer to ether, because ether is a substratum where everything is present. And whatever movement happens, it happens within that substratum which ether provides. But the point is, we can use sky in a conversational sense over here. And similarly, tatha sarvani bhutani matthani ityupadharya. All living beings are situated in me. That means they are given freedom by me, and within the area, within the freedom that I give them, they can act. So they have freedom within a limited framework. Like that. Now we are sitting and discussing this class. You know, if one of us wants, we can just walk away from here. We can go to sleep during this class also. Or we can just walk away mentally during the class and go anywhere. We can do whatever we want. We have the freedom. But there's a limitation caused by the human body that we have. We may want to go, but we can't suddenly develop wings and fly in the sky. So there are limitations. So we have unlimited framework, but with the unlimited freedom within a limited framework. That way, matsthani tyupadharaya. So living in Krishna is describing the mystical relationship. That there is matsthani, nacha matsthani. How is that reconciled? By having some restriction and some freedom. And how does Krishna do this? He does this based on his compassion. Normally, when parents maintain a child, parents become attached to the child. But Krishna doesn't become attached. So, what Krishna has a Yoga Maishwarya. This is my mystical potency. So, if it is a mystical potency, then what is mystical about it? If it can be explained with an example like this, that the air and the sky, then it is no longer inconceivable. It is no longer Aishwarya. Krishna says no. But actually, it is inconceivable because it is still neither the air nor the sky are conscious. When there is consciousness and there is interaction, then affection or attachment develops. So, we don't want when Krishna doesn't become attached to anyone, although Krishna maintains all living beings, he's not attached to them. That capacity to maintain without becoming attached, that is the inconceivability of Krishna's relationship with the world. Now, Prabhupada quotes here, the point of how the Lord is in control. Matsthani itya. So he quotes several verses. He quotes Taittiriya Upanishad. Yad bhishava pavate. Bhisha is referred to fear. Vataha pavate. Wind blows out of the fear of the Lord. And then Prabhupada quotes on the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also. Etasivaksharasya prashasane garvi. Surya Chandramasau Vidrutau Tishtata Etasiva Aksharasya Prashasane Gargyadyav Aprithivyav Vidrut Tishtataha. So, by his order, the moon, the sun, and the other great planets are moving. So, similarly, Prabhupada calls Brahma Samhita for the same point. Now, after describing this, Matsthanityopadharya. So, this is with respect to the normal maintenance. Now, in creation, there are different phases. So, in material existence, there are different phases. There is maintenance, there is also creation, and there is also destruction. So, after describing how Krishna maintains all living beings, within material nature also, now Krishna will talk about creation and destruction. Let's look at the creation and destruction aspect now. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshay punastani kalpadau visrajamyaham. So, sarva bhutani kaunteya. So, all living beings are kaunteya. Prakritim yanti mamikam. Prakritim yanti. They enter into my nature. Kalpakshe. At the end of the kalpa. And punastani kalpadau visrajamyaham. And at the beginning of the kalpa, I create them again. So here, something interesting is happening. Krishna is taking the development of thought to a more theistic, more personal level. The similar point was said in the 8th chapter. Let's compare these two verses. The same point was talked about in the 8th chapter in the context of talking of Krishna, of the Supreme Lords, of the cyclic nature of material existence. So there it was described how at the end of the creation everything is destroyed. And at the start of creation everything is created. But then the difference was that actually it was just talked about as under the influence of material nature. So let's look at this verse here. So this is, let's compare these two verses now. Here what is saying? Bhuta is 8.19 we discussed earlier. Bhuta grama sevayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratriagame vishah partha prabhavatyah ragame. So it's describing the whole of material existence. So praliyate ratriagame, at the arrival of night, night refers to night of Brahmaji, everything is destroyed, avasha, helplessly, and prabhavatyah ragame, it is all created at the start of the day. So like that, praliyate and prabhavatyah is talked about. Now, what is the difference in 9.7 when it's talked about over here? Here it is said, yes, kalpakshaya is talked about, same point is there. And then at the end of a kalpa, there is destruction that is talked about. And at kalpa, though, at the beginning of a kalpa, there is a creation that is talked about. But the important point is maam, ikam, and aham. So, everything is withdrawn into me and everything is created by me. So, the difference is the in terms of development of thought. There, in the 8th chapter, the primary focus was not on explaining who is in control of material nature. The point was there of how material nature is temporary and one needs to transcend material nature. So therefore, there the focus was just that yes, Brahmani's life may be very, very long, but ultimately even his abode is destructible and all of creation is destructible. Therefore, one should seek the indestructible abode. And then Krishna said, that is my abode and we should go and you should aspire to go there. So there when Krishna was talking, when the focus was not on understanding Krishna's role in material nature, but the focus was on going beyond material nature to the spiritual world. At that time, Krishna did not focus on who is in charge of this, under whose will this creation destruction happens. This creation destruction is happening, nothing is eternal, so don't focus on this. Look beyond this, to the eternal. But here what does Krishna do? Krishna is now focusing on, yes, his glory is such that he exists in his eternal majesty in the spiritual world. But along with that, he's also in charge of the material world. So there is a development of thought. And it is described how the huge creation with all its magnificence and mystery is created and destroyed under the will of the Lord. Sarvabhutani Kaunteya, all living beings. Now Srila Prabhupada would use this verse often to counter the theory of evolution. And the theory of evolution, the idea is that different living beings are created at different stages in the unfolding of creation. So, originally there was just unicellular species, amoeba unicellular species came along, and then from there multicellular, and then gradually all the variety of species came about over millennia. So this is the idea. So Prabhupada is saying here, Sarvabhutani Kaunte. Actually, I create all living beings. So now, the important point is that Krishna is saying that material nature is under his control. So, let's move forward. Now Krishna will continue this theme about how material nature is under his control. Prakritim Swama Vashtabhya Visrujami Punha Punha Bhutagramam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vashat. So Prakritim Swama Vashtabhya. So actually it all enters into me. What does enter into me refer to? We know that when the whole creation has run its course, at that time when there is cosmic destruction that happens, at that time the cosmic substratum that is withdrawn into the living entity, into the body of Mahavishnu, just as all the living entities are withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu. So Prakritim Swama Vashtabhya Visrujami Punha Punha, and then Visrujami, I create it all, Punha Punha, again and again. Bhuta Gramam Imam Kritsnam. Bhuta Gramam Imam Kritsnam. This Bhuta Grama is all of material existence, the cosmic. Imam Kritsnam, all this, everything about it. Avasham Prakritir Vashat. So, Avasham. Now, Krishna used two words over Avasham and Prakritir Vashat. So, Avasham means helplessly. There's no Vasha, there's no control. And then, there is no control from our perspective. When a cosmic devastation will happen, all of us will be destroyed. So, nobody will survive. So, in that sense, we are Avasham. But actually, what is? It is the power of nature. And two words in the Krishna will tell that power of nature is under his control. Maya Adhyakshina Prakriti. But here he is talking about Prakritir Vashat. So in this way, Krishna is telling that this material nature is, not only is it sustenance done by me, in 4, 5, 6 he talks about sustenance, how he is doing sustenance. Now 7 and 8, he is talking about how he is overseeing even the creation and destruction. Then after that, Krishna says that actually, still, I am not entangled because I am not attached. This is an important verse. to demonstrate Krishna's transcendence. Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti dhananjaya udasina vadasinam asaptam teshu karmasu. So nachamam tani karmani, actually tani karmani, all this karma which is being, all this action that is being done, nibadnanti dhananjaya, this doesn't bind me. No, this comes in the previous line, but this doesn't bind me. Why? Because udasina vadasinam, udasina, which means I am neutral, I am detached. Udasina vad, I am situated as if neutral. Asinam asaktam teshu karmasu, I am not attached. We had discussed earlier the difference between asakta and asakta. Asakta is attached, asakta is detached. So Krishna is udasina vadasinam. Krishna is detached like a judge. So, material nature has its own system and it acts according to that system. It is under Krishna's supervision. But Krishna is not having any personal agenda. Krishna doesn't have any vendetta against someone. You know, you defied me, therefore I'll punish you. No, there is a law of karma. Krishna lets the law of karma run its course. So, Krishna is saying that I do not become bound because I am udasina vad. Normally, if one person kills somebody else, that person will get karmic reactions. Now we may say that somebody destroys a big house, somebody sets fire to a whole house, and that person is quite a serious crime, arson. And if there are people who die in the fire, then it's even a greater crime. So we might say this is a serious crime. And what to speak of if somebody destroys a whole city? But then we may say that actually here Krishna, when he sets up the material nature, you know, not just one house or one city or one country or one continent or one planet or one planetary system or even one, all of universe is destroyed. And not just one universe, like that all universes are ultimately destroyed. So is Krishna culpable? It's if Krishna is causing all this destruction, he's causing all this suffering. No, Krishna says, udasinam adasinam. It's not I am causing it, it is actually happening by the course of material nature. Now somebody may argue, but Krishna is only in charge of material nature. So then if Krishna is in charge of material nature, then what are material nature does? Isn't it Krishna causing it? No, actually Krishna has set up a particular system, but he hasn't forced us to get into the system. What does that mean? In a jail, there is suffering. But if the prisoner is suffering in the jail, can the king be held responsible for that? No. Because the king did not force the prisoners to go into the jail. The jail system is under the king, and if there is suffering in the jail, yes, the king knows about it, and the king, that is a part of the system. But the king did not force the prisoners to go into the jail. The prisoners did wrongdoing, did wrong actions, and because of that they went to the jail. Similarly, the souls who are in this world, they are suffering because they chose to defy the Lord and they sought to enjoy separate from him. So Krishna, the king doesn't have any personal vendetta against the prisoners. There is a law. Those who abide by the law, they are protected by the king. Those who defy the law, they are accordingly sent to correction centers. So similarly, this world is like a correction center. And whatever happens, the point here is Krishna says, it's not that I am karmically implicated, because Krishna is not emotionally driven in this. Krishna is udasina vad. He is detached. And therefore, nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti, I do not become bound by all this. Then, after describing this, Prabhupada again quotes the same verse which is quoted earlier from Vedanta Sutra. Vaishyamya nirgrunyena, vaishyamya nirgrunyena. Actually, there is no partiality in the Supreme Lord. And then Krishna concludes the section with the famous verse, which Prabhupada would quote quite often. Maya adhyakshena prakriti sujate sacharacharam. So maya adhyakshena, under my supervision, prakriti. So prakriti works under my supervision. Suyate sacharacharam, suyate. Suyate means it manifests. Sacharacharam, charachara, the moving and the non-living. Hetuna nena kaunteya. And for that reason, under that hetu, कौनते जगत विपरिवर्तते विपरिवर्तते. सो परिवर्तन रेफर्स टू चेंज. विपरिवर्तते मीन्स साइकिल ऑफ चेंज इज वर्किंग, इट्स गोइंग ऑन. सो कृष्णा कंक्लूड्स द सेक्शन बाय सेइंग ऑल दिस विपरिवर्तते. सो दैट मीन्स दिस हैज मेंटेनेंस व्हिच वाज टॉक्ड अबाउट फ्रॉम 4, 5, 6 and then the destruction which is talked from the creation destruction which is talked in 7, 8, 9. All this is happening jagat, this is jagat viparivartate, all this happening is under my supervision, maya adhyakshena prakriti is happening under my supervision. When it is happening under my supervision, the word supervision is important, adhyakshata. So a overseer or a supervisor is not necessarily involved hands on. That person is overseeing, from over, the word very oversee, what means over and see, to see from over. So like that Krishna oversees, maya adhyakshena, Akshay is eyes. So Krishna oversees from above. Above means he is also present in the super soul inside, so he is also seeing from inside. But when he is seeing from inside also, he is not attached, he is not entangled. He is as if above. He is above material consciousness, even if he is present within matter, he is still above because he is not caught up in material consciousness. And suyate sacharacharam, all of creation is happening under his will. So as devotees, what is the implication of this understanding? Sometimes we may think that, okay, I'm trying to serve Krishna and his material nature is the place where I'm currently trapped and I have to go from this material world to the spiritual world. But I'm fighting so many battles. Internally my mind is troubling me. Externally in the world there are so many hostile forces. How can I continue fighting this battle all alone? It's difficult. We may feel sometimes lonely and destitute. But we should know that actually we are not lonely and destitute. Why? Because Krishna is with us. How is he with us? Even in material nature, whatever is happening is ultimately under his will, under his supervision. You know, it's not his will, it's sanction, as we discuss, subtle difference between will and sanction. But overall, he's supervising and he's there with us. So we will see later on that Krishna is personally involved for his devotees. For others, he is dispassionately overseeing. But for his devotees, he's passionately involved. And that will be the endearing aspect of Krishna's glory. That he is involved, he is concerned, he is, for the devotees, he is hands-on. At the same time, even for everyone else, Krishna is there. He is in charge of creation, in charge of existence. And ultimately, even the jail, the king may not be directly hands-on involved in the jail. But the purpose of the jail is what? It's to reform the prisoner so that they can come out and become good citizens. Similarly, this world is a place of suffering and all the destruction and the misery that is there, it's ultimately a part of the arrangement to reform the souls. So there is no need to feel destitute or lonely. Krishna is there within our heart and Krishna is involved. Krishna cares. And he, in fact, the whole system of material nature has been created by him so that as to provide a facility for us to turn back to him. When we turned away from him, he could just have left us. He didn't do that. He created a system by which we could try out our desires for independent enjoyment. When those desires are exhausted, we can return back to him. So therefore, Krishna helps us and Krishna is there to help us. So even his apparent detachment, even his detachment for the karmis, for those who are not his devotees, that is also a part of his compassion only. Because that's what they want. Now, they don't want God to be involved in their life. They want to play out their fantasies independently. Krishna says, okay, I'll provide you an arena for trying it out. Try it out, and when you're fed up, then I'll be there waiting in your heart for you to turn to me and return back to me. And for the devotees, he's eagerly acting constantly to help them come back to him. How he especially shows his grace to his devotees, that will be part of the later section of this chapter. And we'll discuss subsequent verses in the next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.